Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
We have a very special guest just before we introduce her tonight. For those of you who don't know, James that was sharing here, after next week, you must call him Pastor James, because we're gonna just pray for him as our worship pastor. So James and Yopi, where's Yopi? We're praying for them this coming Sunday morning. Yopi, Pastor Yopi, oh youth, okay. Stand up, Yopi, let's see how you blush, okay. Yeah, okay. We love you, Yopi. And so this coming Sunday morning, we're going to just set them aside to pray for them, to recognize God's call on their lives. So be here. If you love them, come and share with them. And James will be sharing on worship and very exciting. But there's a friend of ours. She is like an amazing, bubbling personality. And it's more than that, especially if we get some of our family from more persecuted countries. It's always, there's a special grace for us to receive from them. And Yang Chin, she's here from Bhutan. She's going to be here 6 weeks, mostly at our Durbanville Shofar Church and all around at Convergence. And yeah, what a privilege to have you sharing your testimony. They've really been doing amazing things, her and her mother, in a really persecuted country. So we ask you, please don't put anything on social media or photos or Facebook or any stuff like that, because we want her to come back again. And sometimes people like do stuff like that, and then sometimes we close the door for people from especially the Middle East and these countries to come and visit us. But we want to just thank you. Come, I ask her to stand up here, because she's also short like some other people in the congregation, so you need to see them. But Yang Chin, I want to just pray for you and take the freedom to share with us. Father, thank you, Father, for your blessing of what you are doing in a closed nation like Bhutan. Father, thank you, God, that you are raising up your church. And thank you, Father, we receive her tonight. Receive her testimony. Father, we pray a blessing and your favor on her. We thank you, Lord, for your life in abundance. We thank you, Father, for many that will be healed and set free through our life, Lord, through what you're doing, Father, in those nations. And Lord, we just receive everything, Lord. Like you say, when we receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, we shall receive a prophet's reward. And even tonight, Lord, we pray for the persecuted church. Lord, there's so many millions that are suffering, Lord, for the sake of the gospel. I want you just, where you're sitting, just take somebody's hand next to you and just for a moment say, Father, we pray for the persecuted church. We pray that you will bless our brothers and sisters, many in prison, many, Lord, suffering greatly, Lord, for your name. Many even being beheaded, Lord, and laying down their lives physically. But tonight, Lord, we bring nations like North Korea to you, God. We bring nations like Iran to you. We bring nations like China to you, God. Lord, where there are so many, Lord, that are crying out, Lord, and they're holding on to your word tonight. And Lord, we cry out for them, because Lord, when they suffer, we suffer. When they rejoice, we rejoice. And tonight, Lord, we pray that you will even here burden some of us, Lord, with the burdens of your church, Lord, in the Middle East, Lord, in Saudi Arabia, Lord, so many people, Lord, in Yemen, Lord, so many Christians, Lord, suffering in Pakistan, Lord, nations that we bring and lay before you, Lord, that, Lord, where people don't even know if they're going to live tomorrow, but they're holding on to your word, Father. And we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Father, that you are preserving your church. Father, we pray that you'll strengthen them, raise them up, Lord, to be a voice also to the church in the West, Father, to share what is on your heart, God. And Lord, let the church come together, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen.
Hello, everyone. Pastor Sia said I can take 20 minutes. It usually takes me 20 minutes to warm up, actually. I'm from Bhutan, so If some of you don't know where Bhutan is, it's in southeast side of Asia. It's between China, Nepal, and India. These are our... Bhutan is very small Himalayan kingdom, and we still have a king and a queen that we love very much. And that... I won't go there, but then even them, like, you know, they are fifth king and queen, and even them being in our country, like, right now, it's so much favor for us. They have been so good to Christians, and it's just, there's been a change in our country, and I know it's because of so many people praying for our country. And so... I'm so thankful to be here to Pastor Sias. I wasn't looking to speak so soon after I landed in the country. But thank you so much. And I've heard great things about Stellenbosch. Like, it just, like, encourages me so much to know about this church, a place where young people are trained to go for missions, people learn to love God and love each other. And this is the vision that I have for my country, that we will train up people, we will train up leaders, we will raise up young people who loves God, knows God, and lives for God. My story starts with my mom's story, because my dad was a Buddhist and my mom was Hindu. And my mom, when she was born, usually in a Hindu family, like, they have this chart drawn for a person when they are born. Like, it kind of, like, shows, like, what kind of future you have, or, like, what kind of person you're going to be. So for my mom, it was that, like, it showed that she would die soon. So my grandfather, I never got to meet him, but then I heard, like, he was a great, like a witch doctor kind of person. Like, person who... does all the weird things. So he never actually took time to look after my mom, or, like, take care of her, or, like, take her to hospital when she got sick, because he would always tell her, like, oh, like, there's nothing I can do because you're born with a short life, like, lifeline, and you're going to die anyways. So, and my mom, since her young age, she was looking for truth. She was looking for God who would actually give her life. But then she did everything she could, and she never found peace. And then she married my dad. He was a handsome, very handsome, kind of short, but then very handsome person. So my mom, like, after she gave birth to us, she was, like, very sickly, and, like, after all the treatment and all the pujas that they did, like, she was told, just go spend these last days with your children because you're going to die anyway. And so my mom, like, was home, and we had this aunt who knew my mom, and she would come and share gospel with my mom. And my mom hated her. She was like, why is she even coming to my house? Like, I don't want you to tell me about Jesus. I don't care who Jesus is. Like, I don't believe in him. If I die, I'm going to die a Hindu. But my aunt would keep on coming, like, every time she would be there telling about Jesus. And my mom said, you know what, I'm going to die a Hindu, I don't care. And my aunt said, like, if you die, you will die, but then your children are young and they won't have a mom. Like, your husband will remarry, and then your children won't have, like, a proper mom and all that. And convinced her to go to a conference. The story is important, I'll tell you later why. So she sat in a conference, like, from morning till night. She was just listening to all these sermons, which made no sense to her. She's just waiting for somebody to come and, like, perform a puja over her that makes her healed and tells her that she won't die and she will live. But then nothing like that happens. Like, so towards the end of the service, like, a pastor who is preaching says, like, oh, like, everyone, like, who's here for the healing, please stand up. And then my auntie signals, like, that's you, stand up. And then she stands up, and then the pastor comes over to pray, and then he just goes around praying, and then he just, like, touches her and says, like, be healed in the name of Jesus, and walks off. That made my mom so angry. She was like, this is it? Like, all through morning till now, I've been sitting, and this is all that you do? This is going to make me healed? And she was mad. And, like, after that, like, my aunt gave her, like, a big plate of rice. We eat rice a lot. Love rice. And, like, everything. And my mom, like, could not eat for, like, such a long period of time because she would puke even like water. She had like, I don't know, something like really bad. And then like my aunt brought her this big plate of food and told her like, eat this. And that made my mom angry again. And she's like, you know I cannot eat. Why are you doing this to me? And then she said, no, you are prayed for. You are healed. I'm praying over this. Eat it. You are healed. You won't die. And so like my mom said, like she remembers holding the plate. She doesn't remember eating it. But then she realized she finished eating it. And there is a belief in our place, like, before you die, no matter how sick you are, you eat your last meal. So like, she felt like, oh, I ate my last meal. Now I'm like surely going to die. And then they took her to a place to sleep. During those days when we used to have conference, not in Bhutan, but the border town of Bhutan, they used to give us hay. You all know hay, like, yeah, to sleep in. So like just a bed sheet over the hay, and then we had to sleep there. And then my mom was shown where she was supposed to sleep, and like my mom was like, surely I came to die tonight because like I can't sleep in a place like this. And then the next morning when she wakes up, she said she felt so light. She thought she was a spirit and she had surely died. But then she was healed. She was totally healed. She didn't have puking. She could, like, she was healed. And that was the day my mom went down on her knees, accepted Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior, and committed that until the day she dies, or until this day God keeps her on earth, she will tell people about who Jesus is and take the healing and deliverance to everyone who needs it. And so every time I hear that story, she didn't have faith. She tells me she did not have faith on Christ. But then he was still good to her and he still healed her, he still set her free. There are so many people in bondages, so many people needing healing. And this is one thing that I've realized like very recently, though I've been like in full-time ministry for quite some time now. Because I don't know, suddenly there is a trend wherein before you pray for a person, you ask the person if you believe in Jesus or not, like, or if you have faith to be healed or not. And sometimes you don't because you're so focused on your circumstances or you're so focused on your sickness and you don't have the faith that you need. And sometimes I've heard, like, I don't know, maybe it doesn't happen here, but in my place, like, I've heard people tell people you're not healed because you don't have enough faith. And that just didn't sit right with me because I know my mom didn't have faith and she was healed. God is bigger than our weaknesses and than our inability to have faith when we need to have faith. And so I got to grow up with a mom like that, was passionately, absolutely crazy about Jesus. And I was 7 years old when she moved back to our village and started the church. She is the first woman to start a church and pastor a church and like disciple many men who went on to become pastors and leaders all over the world and also in Bhutan. And so when I was growing up, because I saw my mom so in love with Jesus, that made me fall in love with Jesus. I remember I would sit with my mom and pray with her for hours. We would just pray and pray and sing and pray. And our house had this presence of Jesus. Like people would walk in. We don't have to say anything. They would just fall down crying. And they would just confess the sin and accept Christ. That's the atmosphere fear that I grew up in. And so I remember I was 7 and I was filled with Holy Spirit. And that just made me love God more because he's not a respecter of person. No matter who you are, how old you are, and where you come from, like if you seek God, you will find him. If you say like, Lord, here I am and I want to know you. Like what Pastor Jeff was saying. Yeah, so like he does reveal himself to people who seek him. And like that's how I grew up. And when growing up, I started teaching Sunday school when I was 7, and 8. And I just knew some songs, and I just knew how to, like, knew some stories that my mom would tell me. And I would just gather, like, the village, other children, and then I would just do Sunday school with them. And I started, like, helping in church and doing all these things because I loved God. But then, obviously, like, later on, it became a must. It became something that I have to do. Then I was this person who was always in the front, and I always had to perform. And it got to a point wherein I still love God, but I don't want to do this anymore. Like, being in church, doing church work is the last thing I want to do. And I did everything I can to run away from his, like, won't say his presence, but because you cannot. But then just to run away from the ministry side of it, because I saw my mom being persecuted by the government, which was understandable because our government is a Buddhist government, and the culture and tradition and everything that we have is based in Buddhism. So they fear that if people, everyone becomes Christian, then we won't have. And our country is just known for our culture and tradition. And so they fear that if everyone becomes Christian, we won't have this culture and tradition. And then, like, we will have nothing because our country is, like, really small. Really, really small. And so that's what they believe. And so they persecute. So they try to stop, like, Christians. But then they don't know that we'll get a new identity and a new culture and a new tradition in Christ. So I don't blame them. But the other thing that I saw while growing up was persecution of my mom through other believers. Other pastors who thought it was demonic for a woman to lead a church. It was demonic for a woman to baptize people and to preach the word or preach gospel or lead people to Christ. Anything and everything she did was, like, there were rumors about my mom saying that there is this woman in this side of Bhutan who's, like, touches people and they shake and then they fall down and then, like, they are possessed, they become demon possessed and all that. So, like, I grew up hearing all this nonsense about my mom, and I always saw my mom suffer, and I saw her suffer quietly. I remember there was this time when this group of men that my mom was discipling, one day, I don't know what went wrong, but then they stood up against her and they were, like, saying, spreading all these rumors about her. And me and my brother were so frustrated at these things we had to hear about our mom all the time. And we decided to take stones and throw at that person's windows. We wanted to break his windows. We just wanted to get back at him because my mom would say nothing. And I went to my mom. She was praying in her prayer room, and I asked her, "Mom, why don't you say anything? Like, why are you so quiet? Like, you know, why are you letting them speak all this nonsense about you? Like, why don't you speak up? Why don't you defend yourself?" And my mom said, "You remember when Jesus was taken before Pontius Pilatus, yeah? And, like, the accusations that came against him. Do you think he defended himself?" And I said, "No. Like, I don't think he defended himself." And she's like, "Yeah. So, like, you don't have to always defend yourself. God is the one who fights for you. So you just have to, like, this is, I have peace. God is fighting for me, and I don't have to say anything." And now I understand why she did what she did. But then that time I was so frustrated. I was like, "No, I want to go do something." So I grew up from such a wonderful revival place, but then I grew up to being this very angry and rebellious, like, person. You won't see that now. But then I grew up being very angry and rebellious. And then I did everything I could to stay away from ministry. I promised myself that I will not be involved in ministry. Church is the last thing that I want to do. I saw my mom suffer, and I said, my dad was the only person who was earning. And we had, like, 20, 25 other people living with us in our home all the time. And it was an open house. And, like, sometimes I would just hate not having the money to, you know, buy myself a new pair of shoe or, like, a new pair of dress, and, like, just having to share that little money with everyone who was in the house. But I also remember the joy of, like, just worshiping God, and, like, at 5 a.m. in the morning, and then there was a time when our house was shut down by police. Like, they came and they took everyone to jail, and then they shut our house down, like, locked our house. And we had to live outside on the porch. And I remember those being like one of the most happiest days of my life, because like we would wake up at 5 and like sing and worship and like in the evening, and it was like every day we had this. So like I had both. I was in love with Jesus, wanting more of him, at the same time hating that it was always such a hard time, that there was always persecution. And my mom would be like, you know, you have to honor God always, put him first always. And every time we went back home for our winter vacation, she would make us work like anything. And some of the things we had to do was like carry stones and like hay, like all across the town, like to take it to another place, because we were banned from having church inside Bhutan. So we had to go like worship God like just outside on the border area, and that area had nothing. So we had to carry all the time everything from Bhutan to that place. And I was embarrassed. As I was like growing up, I started becoming very embarrassed. And when my mom was put in jail, and my mom and some of the aunties in the church, they were made to cut grass in public area. And the thing was like, we had to go to school from that area. Like, and my friends would point out and be like, "Young Chen, isn't that your mom? Why is she cutting grass like there in the public ground?" And I'll be like, "I don't know, public service. I have no idea why she's doing that." And so like all of this. And then during my college years, I said I wouldn't go back to serving God. I wouldn't go back to ministry life, because I knew the suffering that was there with that life. And I was like, that is the last thing I want to do with my life. But God is so faithful, and he is so patient with us. You know, times when we think we know everything and that we have our life figured out, he's just patient. He's just waiting. And he brought me around in such a good way. He brought me back home. And I thank God almost every day that he would give me this privilege and honor to serve him and to look after his people. It always breaks me that, because like if I like really sit down and think like I know nothing, I'm like, I feel like zero. I know nothing. And I have people. God has entrusted a person like me with families, homes, and people. And they all serve God and look to God. And like, I have these people to take care of. And it just humbles me so much. And now I am thankful. As I look back to my life, I am so thankful for all the suffering we had. All the hard times, all the lack. Because I'm actually glad that I could share like my home with 20 other people, because all of these things has made me the person that I am today. And so even through discomfort and lack and pain and everything, like God is always molding us. So one of the things that I always come back to my mom. I'm going to tell you about my dad also. One of the things my mom always told me was like, whatever we have in life, whatever that is, it is so that God can be glorified. It is so that we can give it back to him. And I always wanted an apartment by myself, which is the norm, I think, here in this side of the world. But in my side of the world, you get to live by yourself only if you have a job that takes you away from your family, or if you are married. Then you get to go live with your husband. But if you're single and you're not married and you talk about getting your own apartment, and then you're like, people talk about, you don't love your parents. You don't want to take care of them. Why do you want to go live separately? Do you have too much money? And like, it was so hard for me to explain to my own family that like I wanted my own place. And it seemed impossible, because like, then I had already committed my life to serving God, and I had no money in my pocket, but I had this desire to have my own place, and that also in the capital city where it's the most expensive. But God worked out, and then I could have my own place. And it was like 3 days of me being in my apartment and me being like, oh, so good. I have my own place now, finally. And my mom walks in and she's like, praise God, you have your own apartment. Now let's start a church here. And I didn't even tell her, like, I had my own apartment. And she just, like, shows up and she's like, where are you staying? I'm like, I have my own apartment now. And she's like, oh, great. And she comes in and she walks and she did that. And I was like, Mom, I want my own place. And she's like, she sat me down and she said, like, everything you have, you give it back to God. Because that is how He is glorified. And I'm so glad. We started the church in Thimphu in 2014 with four families, and we are 14 families now. We just celebrated 3 years, and it's been such an honor and joy to pastor that church there and like few of our other churches. And one of the things I wanted to share was like this recent thing that happened. I have been telling God in my prayer that I was not content with just like, you know, having church and like just sharing message. And because I know there is more that we can do, because in the Bible Jesus says that like you will do more than I have done. And I was like, God, you know, demonstrate your word. I want to see people get healed like you healed my mom. You're the same God, and I want to see people get healed. And how many of us know that what we pray for, we get, like, sometimes immediately? So, like, I prayed this prayer, like, one day, and then I got a call from one of my church members, and she's like, come to hospital, like, fast. And I was like, why? Oh, I have a cousin here, like, whose both kidneys are damaged, and she's undergoing dialysis, and she's, like, in a very critical condition. And I was like, okay, what do you want me to do? And she's like, please come and pray for her and lead her to Christ. And I was like, okay. So I went to see her. And I've never seen this happen. You all would know. I don't know. But then she is a dialysis patient, but she had lost her eyesight. She's like become blind. And she was very critical, and like because she couldn't see, she didn't know that she was in emergency area, which was like full of people. So like when I walked in and told her like, hi, I'm Yang Chen, and like she's like, oh, I'm so glad you are here. I believed in Jesus for 2 days, but He didn't heal me. So I went and looked for a Buddhist Lama to like perform puja over me. Do you think Jesus will take me back again? And that was the first question I got as I walked in. And I was like, yes. And she started saying so many things, and I was like, you know, after you reach home, I'm going to ask your son to call me, and then we are going to come see you and pray for you. We're not going to talk now. We're going to talk later. And I gave her son my phone number, and I left from that place. And we went and prayed for her. So we went and prayed for her, and, like, everyone looks at her and goes, like, oh, like, she's surely going to die. Like, she looks, like, really bad. And then my church people are forcing me to, like, do the salvation prayer and, like, lead her to Christ. And I'm like, I just didn't feel it, didn't have peace in my heart, like spirit. And I said, no, we are not going to do that now, because she, like, I think she was mentally unstable as well. And she doesn't understand. She, like we're just going to pray. She will be healed. She will see. And she will know who Jesus is. And then I will lead her to Christ. And my church people was like kind of disappointed in me, because then they told me, like, Yang Chen, I think you are scared that she's going to die and you will have to do all the funeral expenses and things, and, like, so you don't want to lead her to Christ. And I was like, no, I know for sure that she's going to be healed and I'm going to lead her to Christ. And so that day we prayed for her to be healed, and we went back home. That was, like, around 10:30 in the night. And I went back home. And I didn't know this. Like, I got a call next day, and the son said that after we left, like, after an hour after we prayed and left, like, she got into, like, worst condition ever. She was, like, critical. And I'm like, Jesus, I know you got this. Like, it's not going to happen like what everyone else is saying. And, like, so, like, I rushed to the hospital, and then she was there. Like, she looked bad. And the doctor said she could, like, next 2 days would say, like, if she would live or not. And we went and prayed for her still. And my church people went and prayed for her. And they come back and tell me, she's surely going to die. If you would have just led her to Christ, she would make it to heaven. But because you didn't, this one's on you. Like, kind of. Like, yeah, they did say this. And then I had to, like, I was like, I just kept praying for her. And I had to go away on a leadership meeting that I was doing. And I came back. And I wrote to Pastor Ross that day. I was so scared. Like, I was scared. I was scared that she would die. But then I kept praying. I kept pushing through. And I wrote to, like, sent a voice text to Pastor Ross. And he encouraged me also. And I went in. And I stayed with her. I prayed with her for 4 hours, I think. 4 hours, yeah. She was undergoing dialysis. And I just stayed and prayed with her. I was like, whatever happens, Lord. You know her. And so, like, I just commit her to you. I just prayed over her. And I couldn't go see her because next day was Sunday, and I was, like, busy with the Sunday activities. And on Monday, when we go see her, she is sitting. She's eating her food. Like, she's very hungry, obviously, because she's not eaten for, like, past 1 week. And she can see again. She can see again. Her sight is, like, restored. And she saw me, and she smiled. And, like, she was like, I'm accepting Christ now. Whether I die or I live, I'm accepting Christ now. And the best part is the doctors told the son, like, she's not alive because of the medicine or dialysis. This is surely God's working. They didn't say Jesus, but they said God. But then we know who God is. So they said, like, this is surely God working. And the best thing in all of this situation is that boy is, like, 18 years old. And he is like, I know true God. Whether my mom lives or die, I'm not going to stop believing in Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. So this is just one of the incidents of, like, how we work back in Bhutan. And we can go share testimony or Jesus with people only if we are invited or if we are introduced by our friend. So, like, I always tell my church people, look out for people that we can go pray for or that we can go share Jesus with. And many a times when you go share Jesus with people in their homes, they don't want you there. And they will let you know with their face, like, we don't want you here. They make it known. And there has been so many times wherein people have, like, clearly said and clearly let us know that they don't want us in their homes. They don't want us telling them about Jesus. But then you stay. You don't leave because they tell you to leave. You don't leave because you know that they want you to leave. You just stay. And you pray, and you still talk about Jesus. You talk about other things, and you get back to Jesus. And then you just keep on sharing the word. And that is how people are born in Christ in Bhutan. And as awkward as it may seem, like, I just want to encourage, as awkward, I don't know how it works here, like, but as awkward as it might, telling people about Jesus, like, people may not always welcome it. And in this time and age, like, I think it will go on, like, it will become a time wherein people don't want to hear about Jesus at all. But then we say our ground, and we speak the truth, we speak life, we tell people about Jesus, because he's the only one that can save everyone, right? And so, like, this is how we've been sharing Jesus, winning people to Christ. Continue to pray for us. We have 5 branch churches, and we're not in 40 yet, but we'll get there. We have, like, 5 branch churches that me and my mom co-pastor with my mom. And we have 2, like, small groups that we have started in a very remote place that we are so overjoyed to see growing, because just a few weeks before, everything started happening when I said I was coming to South Africa, actually. Like, I had, like, 5 young people commit their life to Christ. We just shared gospel with them, and I thought, like, it would be, like, I will have to, like, go and visit them again and again. But next Sunday, they turned up and said, we want to be baptized. We want to follow Jesus. It was amazing. And there was this other incident wherein this 2 of our church people had gone to pray for this man who was sick. And our people pray loud. like we love praying loud. We love loud prayers. And so like I'm sure they prayed like really loud. So they were reported to police and the police came looking for them. And this is like only the husband wanted to accept Christ. So like our two people had gone to pray for him. But after they were taken to police station and then they got back, the whole family accepted Christ. They were like, you know what? We want to accept Jesus too. So like we didn't even have to preach to them. I don't know what happened. The whole family decided they wanted to accept Christ. And this was amazing. Yeah. So sometimes we are scared of, not sometimes, most of the times we are scared of persecution, but persecution is good for Christians. That is the soil that Christians grow, and we need. Sometimes, I know it will sound crazy, but sometimes I really, really wish for persecution to come back, because then you know who is actually in, like, who is what? And like where your faith level is at. And if you're like really low or out of faith, you can repent and come back and like grow, right? And yeah, you can do that. Yeah, and like so I really long for that because my country, like the people in my country, we were like growing at a very good pace at one time. And now Christians in Bhutan have become lazy, slack. We always use this term like we have to be careful. We have to be careful. And like our church is heavily criticized because we are not careful. We are loud and we are everywhere. So people don't like us actually in Bhutan. But, and I hate this term. Like I know there are places we have to be careful at, but people are being so careful that they are lazy, doing nothing, not sharing the gospel. They're just at home being careful, watching TV. So like that is one area God has been like, really speaking to me about, to be bold, to go, to pray, and to share gospel. Yeah. Because we had this one person from this very remote place. He came and shared this testimony in last time. We had this whole Bhutan leadership thing. And he came and said, like, he gave away the pamphlets, like, tracts, yeah? And then, so, like, there was this group of, like, Buddhist monks, and they were like interested in getting the tracts, and he was like so happy that the monks are asking for tracts, and he gave them the tracts, and he was like, read them, it gives you life, this talks about true God. And then they went and gave the tract to police or somebody, and he was arrested and kept in jail for 4 days. And he comes and he shares this testimony, and the feedback he gets from the leaders is, from next time please be careful, don't go around like giving tracts. I was so disappointed, actually. I was so disappointed. Because it is a privilege to know Christ. Philippians, I think it's in Philippians. I'm bad with remembering the whole thing. But I think it's there in Philippians 1. It says, it is a privilege to know Christ, but it is a privilege to suffer for him as well. Not just to know him. So we are called to do both. Right? And so please continue to pray for us. I know you guys are a mission-sending church. Please come to Bhutan. I have been... students get discounts. Pastor see us. Bhutan is small. It's a kingdom. But then we have this policy of like really charging like high amount to tourists. And I think the government is kind of being, I wouldn't say wise, but then I don't know what the other word is. The bad kind of wise. Because they know the hitchhikers and missionaries will not have enough money to come in. But then they don't know that God provides. Like if you please pray for Bhutan. Our country is like zero on sending missions, like missionaries outside. Seriously. And our I feel so sad, but like I feel our people are sleeping. You know, there is so much we can do. Like, there's like just maybe 2 or 3% of Bhutanese people saved, and there's so many people to be saved again, and everyone is just there being careful and living this comfortable life, like saving their own skin, and that's not the life that God has called us for. So please come, encourage us, especially young people, and it will be a great testimony. I was sharing with Louis. Thank you for driving me here. And I was like sharing with him that it will be such a testimony for our young people to know that young people from here who's not rich, if you're rich, great. If you're not rich, like that you saved money, Like you know, sacrificed, saved money, and then you did fundraising and you came, and then they can do the same again. My people needs to know about mission and needs to know that they have to go out with the gospel and not just be stuck in their homes. So, like, I am so encouraged, so privileged. Pastor Sias, I'm sorry if I took long time. And and I was specifically told not to prepare a sermon, so, like, and my thoughts are not arranged. But then, yeah, I hope you're encouraged. God is faithful. He's same. Jesus is same in Bhutan and in here in South Africa. And he is faithful. He's working in our lives. And just seek him with all that you are, because he is so faithful. He is so interested in who you are as a person and to develop you into the image of his son, Christ, right? I just want to end with that. And thank you so much for having me. And I hope I get to come back again.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.